We do once again wish each of you mothers a happy Mother's Day, and thank you for choosing life and not death. So many have chosen the death routes. Psalm 139, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. We thank you that we live in a land that would set aside a day to honor mothers. And I pray the Holy Spirit now would work in each of our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 139 and verse 1. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. And thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. What a precious passage here. So we thank you for choosing life and not death. We thank you for choosing life, not abortion. I received a letter back from Senator Debbie Stabenow this week. Some time ago, I had signed one of those petitions being sent to her in regard to asking our senators to vote against things that deal with abortion and so on. And so I got a letter back from her, and I've gotten the same letter from her before, but she states, you know, well, this is an intensely personal matter, and there are people on both sides of an issue and so on. Well, World War II was an intensely personal matter, and the United States tried to remain neutral. They didn't want to get involved and didn't want to get involved, but something about when someone dropped bombs on Pearl Harbor finally woke up America, and America got involved. Declaring war on Japan and on Germany the same day. Well, America needs to wake up out of their neutrality and get involved and declare war on abortion. Abortion is cold-blooded murder. The United States could say, well, you know, we feel bad about the people in Europe that, you know, Hitler is conquering them. We feel bad about all the islands that Japan is conquering. But you know what? We're just going to remain neutral. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that. The same way in the abortion matter. There's no neutrality. Either you're for people who are slaughtering innocent babies or you are against them. There's no neutral ground. Jesus said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And that is the fact. So verse 16 is clear. It's life. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Life starts the moment a child is conceived. The moment a child is conceived, you have a mama and you have a daddy, because there is life. The moment of conception. Lord willing, someday that baby will be born, but the moment that baby is conceived, there is a daddy and there is a mommy. And sad, sometimes that daddy and that mommy choose abortion. They choose death. This has got brought up several times when I've been at the jail. And several of those young men have told me that they have girlfriends and they were immoral and their girlfriend got an abortion. I mean, and these guys, none of them are that old most of the time. There's some there that have been there gray-headed, but it's sad. You have a father justifying the murder of that baby, and you have a mother justifying the murder of that little child. Even when Jonah didn't care about Nineveh, God cared about the children there. He brought that up to Jonah. Don't you care? And, well, I guess evidently Jonah did not. Even the state of Michigan, even though abortions are practiced here, still on our law books, the law is 750.323. The laws on our books still state in Michigan, any person who causes the death of a quick child from the use of medicine or instrument shall be guilty of manslaughter. My only disagreement with that law is that they ought to be guilty of murder, first-degree murder, not manslaughter, because they chose to hire someone, to hire a hitman, an MD, to slaughter their baby. If you go hiring a hitman to kill somebody, you know what? You'll get nailed. But people do that all the time with abortion. So as we think about, we honor you mothers. We're living in a day that's so cold and calloused. They can take the life of a baby and it doesn't even seem to bother them. A man recently wrote in with a question, and it made me think of something we all need, and it's good to talk about on Mother's Day. Let me read his question to you, and we'll talk more about it, because when I read the question, you're going to say, what does that have to do with Mother's Day? His name is Scott. He said, I was reading the response to a question, can a divorced man be a youth leader, a youth pastor? He says, I don't understand how it can be responded to by using King David as an example. We live under grace as opposed to law, which David was under. Also, King David had many wives. Anyway, he says, when it comes to a youth minister, youth pastor, who better to minister to our youth, of which most are raised in divorced homes, than a man who has experienced firsthand the pain and consequences of a broken home? He said, I believe your misery is your ministry. Our times have changed, and with grace, everyone is on equal playing field when it comes to the work of the Lord. And it just, that might be a strange jump-off point for Mother's Day, but I got thinking, you know what? It's the same thing. When mothers try to live according to the Bible, you're scoffed at. You're ridiculed. And so you need some refuge from the Word of God. What is this age of grace? What are all of us supposed to be doing? Moms, dads, children? Okay, if this is the age of grace, not under the law, what are we supposed to be doing? What is different? Let's look at a few things today. Let's look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25. One day the Lord is going to come back, or we're going to meet him through death. We're not sure which way we will face him. We will face him, either through the rapture or through death's door. But Matthew 25, what are we supposed to do in the meantime? Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. This is an illustration of Jesus. He's taken up from us in Acts chapter 1, but he's coming back. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To how many men? Every man, according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. The Savior has taken a journey. He's gone to a far country. He's gone to heaven. But he's coming again. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Notice verse 19, after a long time, the Lord comes. He reckons with every one of us. It says there, every man has received talents according to their several ability. So, this is the age of grace. No, Jesus is not ruling and reigning upon earth. The God of this world is wreaking havoc right now. But one day, Jesus will stand upon this earth. He'll come down upon the Mount of Olives in Zechariah 14:4. That mount is going to split in two, and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And in that time, those nations that don't come to worship, no rain will be upon that country. Well, right now, there's lots of rain upon us. Amen. We have lots of water right now. I don't know what it might be later in the summer. But the Lord isn't here with a rod of iron right now immediately chastising people. And so some people mistakenly think he doesn't exist or he doesn't care. Well, they're both wrong. He does exist and he does care. And he's going to reckon. Just like this, he's going to come. And it's like, young people, it's like your parents telling you, okay, I want you to mow the grass. I want you to keep the dishes done. I want you to keep your beds made. I want you to keep the laundry up. And so your dad says, I'm coming back after a while, and I want all these things kept up. Well, he doesn't come home that evening. He doesn't come home the next day. He doesn't come home the next day. And you ask your mom, you say, well, when's dad coming back? And she says, well, I'm not sure. He's got to finish his business, and then he will come. But he will come, so do what he told you to do. A week goes by, dad doesn't come back. 2 weeks go by, dad doesn't come back. 3 weeks, a month, you go to mom and say, where is dad? Well, honey, he's doing an important task. He is coming back. Just keep doing what he told you to do because he is coming. Well, you know what the problem is? After a while, we slack off because dad's not there. I don't think I'll make my bed today. Dad hasn't been. I mean, it's been 4 weeks now and he hasn't come back. I think I'm going to quit doing the dishes. I know Dad said to do it, but I'm getting kind of tired of it. And after all, where is Dad? Well, you know what? That's exactly what's happening right now. Jesus has given us things to do, and he's gone to that far country. He's gone to heaven, but he is coming again. And every one of us, each one of us, are going to be held accountable for what he told us to do in his word. And so that is this age of grace. Some people think that this age of grace is a time where everyone gets to do what they want to. It's like vacation. It's like a day when you have a substitute teacher. Some of our parents know what that's like. Sometimes young people think when a substitute teacher, it's goof-off day. You don't have to do anything. And there's a lot of professing Christians that think this age of grace is goof-off day. What do you mean, preacher, by telling us that the Bible says to do that, this or that? This is a day where you get to read it for yourself and you get to interpret it. You know, well, I don't quite see it that way. That is a very tragic and wrong interpretation of it. So as we read on here, verse 20, so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou what? Good and faithful servant. Remember, he was gone for a long time. The longer someone is gone, the more we tend to slack off. The longer the boss is gone from the workers, the more they goof off. He says, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside him. So these first 2 doubled what they'd been given. The 1 5, he doubled it. The 1 2, he doubled it. Verse 23, his Lord said unto him, what? Well done, good and faithful servant. You see, it's not trying to keep up with the Joneses. It's not trying to keep up with another Christian. It's just trying to do what God has enabled us to do. We may not see near what somebody else sees, but we're not to compare ourselves. We're just to do what God gives us the strength and ability to do. That's how we're judged. And he says, well done, a good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an what? Hard man. Have you noticed in this day and age how many Christians even refer to the Lord as, and when you're talking about the fear of God, they don't like that. They don't like it. It's like, well, if God's a taskmaster like that, I don't want to serve him. Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man. There's something wrong when somebody has that attitude toward God. Reaping where thou hadst not sown and gathering where thou hadst not straw. It's that attitude about, well, Lord, why do you expect me to do it? Why don't you just do it yourself? I mentioned Wednesday night about how it's rained recently and then going out witnessing, and I noticed that again Saturday. It was raining, and so I thought, I wonder what you're going to do, Lord. I wonder if you're going to stop it or not. And sure enough, I got that time and he stopped. I went out, and as I was going door to door, I was just thinking that, you know what? The Lord loves these people. He stopped the rain for these people. The first guy I talked to, he listened to me for a few moments and took my literature, and then he handed it back. A gray-haired man handed it back and said, I'm not a Baptist. And then he just immediately turned and shut the door. And when he turned to shut the door, I saw a ponytail, you know, with a rubber band or something on it. I mean, a gray-headed man. I don't know as I've ever cut any of our children's hair. My wife believes in it. I don't know if I've ever tried to touch any up years and years and years ago, but she's the barber. So thank your mothers for being the barber, amen. But there's one time I would love to get a pair of clippers or scissors, and that's especially when I see a gray-headed man with a ponytail. Because if there's anyone that should know better, it ought to be a gray-headed man wearing a ponytail. I always think, grow up, spiritually especially, grow up. But he turned his head, but you know what? I couldn't get mad. You know what? I thought, God loves that gray-headed man, that gray-headed man with a ponytail, so much that he stopped the rain so that the gospel might be brought to him. Even though that guy doesn't love God, God loves him, wants to see him saved. And I just thought of that going along. God loves all these people. And you know what? I got out on the main road after finishing that street, and the rain just came down. And I just thought, I mean, it just was kind of a tender moment for me because I just thought, you know what? God cares about these people. He stopped the rain for them. to get the gospel to them, even though none of them might respond. Some of them may someday, some of them may not. But he loves each of them so much that he stopped the rain to get the gospel to them. And so we've all got our responsibilities here. We've all got these talents, but notice this one who referred to God as an hard man, verse 24, saying he reaped where he didn't sow and so on. Verse 25, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou what? Wicked and slothful servant. Slothful. You see, this is the age, the day of grace. You know, there's a lot of things that mothers do that no one ever tells them to do. And the only reason they do them is because they're not slothful. All those dishes. Young people, your dad doesn't get up every morning and leave a list for your mom and say, now, honey, I want these dishes done. And when I get home from work, they better be done. Now, honey, I want the laundry done, and when I get home, it better be done, folded, pressed, put in the drawers, in the closet. Now, honey, when I get home, I want this meal made. I want my supper hot. You know, young people, your dad doesn't do that. You know why your mom does all those things? Well, one reason is because she loves you. And another reason is she's not slothful. She has taken that responsibility, those talents which God has given her as the mom, the wife of that home, to fulfill her duties out of love. No one stands over her with a club saying, do this. It's the same with us as Christians. God's not going to stand over us with a club saying, okay, do this or I'm going to bop you on the head. He doesn't do that. But my friends, there's a day coming when this age of grace is going to be over. And then it's going to be seen if we are slothful, if we've considered God a hard taskmaster, or if we've served him out of love. And some people, as I say, mistakenly think there's no God because he doesn't show himself, you know, immediately in all these matters. He does show himself, but just not how they see. And so this person, he calls him wicked. Thou wicked, verse 26, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. There's a judgment day coming. This is not do-as-you-please day. Sometimes in businesses nowadays, they have dress-down days or casual days. Schools sometimes have that dress-down days, casual days. And we're just in this mode in this age where we think, well, you know what? This is dress-down day. This is casual day. I mean, even in the churches, that's what they advertise. Come as you are, casual. Well, this age of grace is not that. All of what God wants us to do is still in effect. You know what? But we're just on our honor. It's like at the sheriff's camp. It's called the sheriff's honor camp. And some of the guys was telling me, now they're going to build a fence around it. Because someone escaped last year, the year before, and did some, you know, asked some lady, I don't know, kind of, took her hostage, I guess, and had her drive him to somewhere in Grand Rapids. It's going to be more like jail. I mean, there's going to be fences, I guess. They're going to hold him in now. And so in this day, this age of grace, we've just got this idea. It's a do as you please time. It's not. There's a day of reckoning coming. A day of reckoning. So the comparison is not other people, as I mentioned. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is not a day to say, well, other Christians are not doing that. And you moms faithfully taking care of your children, it's, you know, you, There's a lot of moms that may just dump their kids off with someone else. And it'd be real easy to get thinking, you know, have I really missed something in life? Because I've tried to do this and that. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10, 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or what? Compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's like a little child comparing himself to a friend or a cousin or someone else, a neighbor, and saying, I'm taller than you. Well, you know what? There may be someone else next week that comes along the same age that beats him by 4 inches. And it's not too wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. Because one day we're going to be measured by God's standard, not by man's. Notice in Romans 3, Romans chapter 3. Our problem is not that we don't match up to other people. Our problem is that we don't match up to God. And in this day, we honor our mothers, our godly, virtuous mothers. And we need to honor them and encourage them. Because you know what? There's a lot of mothers in this world that are living for themselves. And we need to honor those faithful mothers. Encourage them. Romans 3, verse 23. Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. Now, we may go out in the parking lot and compare our vehicles amongst our vehicles. Well, my vehicle is not going to put your vehicle to shame because I didn't get it washed this week and it needed it, but I didn't get it. So, if your car is dirty and you put it up next to mine, we can both feel good. Yeah. Yeah, our cars are okay. Yeah. Mine doesn't outshine yours. Yours doesn't outshine mine. They're both dirty. That's okay. But maybe someone washed your car. I won't ask for hands, but maybe someone washed your car. Maybe yours sits out there in the sunlight sparkling, shining, and it puts ours to shame. But suppose all of ours are dirty, and we're just all patting ourselves on the back, saying, yeah, we're okay. Look at it. All of our cars are dirty. But take it down to our cars to the car lot and see how those shine. The white wall tires or lettering is all white, and, I mean, everything is spotless. There's no bugs on the chrome or on the bumper, on the windows, no water spots. Just all nice. Well, one day we're going to be compared to God, not to people. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is our problem. We've come short of His glory. Notice in chapter 12, Romans 12. We need to encourage our mothers. They need the encouragement. They're trying to follow what God's word says, not what the world says. And they need to be encouraged for it. Romans 12, Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that's what mothers do. When a mama hears that she's expecting a little one, and she doesn't go right out and choose death, abortion, she is giving herself a living sacrifice to bear that little child. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Well, how do you get transformed? You know, there are many things at home you have probably that have a little black box, like either where that you plug into the wall or somewhere in the line. It's a transformer. The voltage needs to be cut down. Maybe a laptop computer, maybe a little game, maybe an iPod or something that just can't handle that full power. It needs to be cut down to size. Well, God is perfect, and we are imperfect. When Moses stood in the presence of God and came back, his face shone, and the people were afraid of him because his face was glowing. It was shining. And you know what? He was in the holiness of God for that 40 days, and it showed. And you know what? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, the God dwelleth in a light that no man can approach unto. He is absolutely holy. Well, as we consider this, how do we then communicate with God? How do we learn what we should be? Well, it's through His Word. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. We can prove that. How? From the Word. And so we encourage our mothers. God bless you. You're not wasting your lives caring for those children. You are doing the perfect will of God. The women of the world are going to scoff at you, but don't be intimidated. You are doing the perfect will of God. Remember, this is the age of grace. You know, we may not be patted on the back immediately for doing the right thing. We might not be rewarded immediately for doing the right thing right now, but you know what? The Master has gone on a long journey, but He's coming again. He's coming again, and there will be a reward for doing the right thing. The age of grace. In the age of grace, the standard is not lowered, nor is it raised. It just goes back to God's original intent, what they had gotten away from in the Old Testament. Notice Matthew 5, Matthew chapter 5. I don't know. Some people just think the age of grace, everything's changed. There's no law. There's no rules. God doesn't expect anything of us. Just, hey, do the best you can. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Matthew 5, 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, what? Love your enemies. You see, the standard, the stick is not lowered. It's just put, Jesus put it back where it always should have been. The Pharisees that came along, oh yes, they tithed down to all the little herbs. But they were not doing the will of God. They were keeping all these little fine point details, and yet passing over the love of God. Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Do you realize this morning there are some people that are still in bed at home? There are some people right now that are up, and they've already started drinking. We've been going around some lakes. I haven't seen so many beer bottles in a long time. They go to the lake, and they party. They drink. Right now, there are people all over this area who have already opened the bottle of beer and are drinking it this morning. You know what? God is allowing the sun to shine on their house, too. God is allowing the sun to shine in their window right now. God is allowing the sun to shine on their patio. Or if they're out in the boat right now fishing, God is allowing the sun to shine down on their boat. That's what it says. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And then it goes on to say, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? You know what? If mamas only loved when they were loved, there wouldn't be much done. When is the last time you've thanked your mama for the meal? When did you say thank you for this meal? Thank you for preparing that food. That was good. Thank you for washing my clothes. Thank you for cleaning the house. How many babies would be cared for if mamas only changed their diaper when the baby said thank you? Well, they'd never get changed because babies can't talk. Babies can't say thank you. Why does a mama do that? Out of love. Even though there's no rewards, no thank you. Verse 46, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans? So be ye therefore what? Perfect, even as. Okay, now we're going to define what perfect is. Be ye therefore perfect, even as who? Your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That is the standard. In this age of grace, Jesus didn't lower the standard. He didn't say, okay, well, the bar has been up at this height, and I'm just going to lower it during this age of grace. Make things lighten up a little bit. No, it's back to the original intent. If you notice here in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, well, actually, hold your place here in Matthew 5. We'll come back, but would you go with me to 19, Matthew 19? Matthew 19, we'll close it here in just a few minutes. Matthew 19. So this man is saying, okay, should a youth pastor be divorced? You know, is that okay? Matthew 19, verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for what? Every cause. They're trying to trap him because in his day there was two schools of thought, and they were going to try to pin him on it. Verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not what? Read. He's talking about the Bible, and he's talking to very learned men. Some of these would be doctors of the law. I mean, go up to a seminary professor who has a doctor's degree in Bible and say, sir, haven't you ever read the Bible? And he's probably going to start getting red. You know, it's going to come up. Who are you to ask me? Jesus said that to him. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them what? Male and female. Doctor of the law, have you ever read about God creating man and woman? I mean, a seminary professor. Have you ever read in the Bible that God created a man and a woman? Well, he's going to get offended big time. Verse 5, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his what? Wife. They twain shall be what? One flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let what? Not man put asunder. Period. He stopped because then they start asking. They says, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? What was Jesus doing? He was not raising the bar. He was not raising the standard. He was just taking them back to the beginning. This is what God did at the beginning. This is God's perfect will. One man for one woman for one life. That was his will. That was his intent. In this age of grace, we can, a multitude of things we can make excuses for, but my friends, each of us are going to be held accountable. One day, the Lord is coming back. Even though he's been gone 2,000 years, he's coming again. And when he does, we are not going to be compared amongst ourselves. We are going to be compared to his original intent for each of us. Remember, we've all been given abilities, talents, different realms. In each of our lives, we all touch different people, different situations. And we'll be held accountable for that. So it's not an issue that abortion is a terribly personal matter. The issue is that God says a baby that's conceived, in his book, that baby is written as a living person. You have a mama, you have a daddy. That a baby is alive. And they're going to be held accountable. I read in the last couple of weeks about some young woman ran for a beauty pageant, and she was asked questions by a sodomite. There was a sodomite judge, and I thought, he was a man sodomite judge. I thought, why do you pick a man, sodomite, to be a judge over a beauty pageant. I mean, sodomite men don't care about women. I thought, that's a weird person. But nonetheless, so this sodomite man, I did not watch this. I just read a news article about it. But he asked the question of this young woman about whether she agrees, whether she believes that marriage should be between a man and a woman only. Well, and from the answer she gave, she tried not to be offensive, but that she did believe it should be between a man and a woman. If it was me answering the question, I would have no doubt been more offensive, but she tried not to be offensive. But nonetheless, the sodomite obviously didn't vote for her, so anyway, she didn't win the beauty pageant. But so on his blog, whatever he has, the sodomite judge just, I guess, really went outrageous, you know, talking down, you know, this young woman. This young woman professes to be a Christian. But now I read this week that these wicked, vile people have found pictures of her that are immodest. And rather than for her to say, you know what, what her answer was, well, hey, I'm a model, and, you know, I have to model all kinds of different things. What she should have said was, you know what, you're right. I have been inconsistent. I have been modeling things that are not appropriate. And you know what, that was, I think it said, like, when she was 17. She should have said, you know what, I was wrong in doing that when I was younger, and I will do that no more. You see, but we're living under this age of grace, and so people make excuses. Well, you know, it was okay to model that, even though it was terribly immodest, it was okay to model that because that's my job. Well, it's got her in a hard point now, a hard spot. So in the age of grace. Notice with me back in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. And we'll close with this. Matthew 5, 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So, we're just living in a day and time when Christianity has just let everything go because, hey, it's the age of grace. And this morning, we just want you moms to know that, you know what, we appreciate you. We appreciate you. I know that the way you live, others would like to intimidate you, but God bless you. And because one day, just patiently wait, because one day you'll be rewarded for being faithful. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, help us to encourage the mothers. We know it's a job that many times there's no thank yous. It's just a 24-hour-a-day job. That very seldom is there anyone else to fill in, to take a shift. And many hours, day and night are required of them. And I pray that you'd bless them. I pray you'd help us as dads, as children, husbands. I pray you'd help us to show appreciation for our wives, mothers, and help us to realize the great sacrifice of love that they give every day. And Lord, I pray that you would indeed richly reward them and encourage them to continue on being faithful for choosing life and choosing the role of mother, the role of wife, the role of keeping that house. We know it's a huge responsibility. And Lord, I just pray that you would rebuke this whole world from trying to intimidate or criticize them. And I pray you'd help each of us as Christians. Lord, help us not to be like this man who wrote in Basically, which is so common, just saying, hey, it's the age of grace. You can do as you want. And Lord, help us to realize we all have different realms, different responsibilities. Help us to realize, Lord, it's a heart matter. It's willingly doing from the heart what you want us to do. And remembering that the judgment seat of Christ will come, will be held accountable. So please work in our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn, please, to 166, one of the most powerful hymns.